Hello, welcome to the Congress Podcast. This is Lori Ingham, bringing you the latest in politics and entertainment for this week. And sometimes the two merge. Just to open the show, a very quick update on the whole sticky drama situation. Gawker revealed that 31-year-old proprietor Christopher Stone is going to be attending Southwestern Law School in Los Angeles starting next week, and that he has put up stickydrama.com for sale for $25,000. If you are interested in buying this site and taking it offline permanently or turning it into something more productive, feel free to bid at GoDaddy.com's auction. I hope you folks have been reading Granite Grok this week. Skip Murphy has been letting out details there about his recent interaction with the Sean Mahoney campaign regarding Skip's challenging them on the idea that Mahoney was quoted as saying that he attended many Tea Party events. For those outside of New Hampshire, Sean Mahoney is running for the 1st District Senate seat here in the state. What Skip is challenging him on is the word many, because he only saw him at one event and wants him to defend his words. Skip has been leaking the details out a little bit at a time, but he's now this week starting to let more out. You'll have to go to Granite Grok to read it, which is at www.granitegrok.com. But basically what it amounted to at this point in the postings is that Mahoney's campaign is trying to rein in Skip on his challenge on the term many, and Skip is not about to be bullied. And joining in on this whole story is Pat Hines, who's the owner of Hines Communications, trying to bully Skip on the whole issue. Where we are now on the story is waiting for Skip to post details of the phone calls. Now here's my take on all of this. For some reason, you start to become popular as a conservative blog, and people automatically start thinking that you should be fair. I mention that because this isn't the first time it's happened. Not too long ago, Fran Wendelboe, a state representative here in New Hampshire, also tried to criticize Granite Grok for these biases. It's a blog, and they have an opinion. And in the case of Granite Grok, it's an advocacy blog for conservative causes. Just like at my blog, conchrist.blogspot.com, I also run an opinionated blog that focuses on conservative issues and pop culture. I have another blog that I post to, franklinteaparty.blogspot.com, that focuses on local Franklin issues in City Hall and the school district, although for the time being I chose not to write about the school district because I'll be doing my internship at the high school in the fall. These are what I choose to write about. Skip's blog is no different than mine in that respect. If he has an issue, he should be able to pursue it. So if Sean Mahoney says he's been to many tea parties and there's only record of him being at one, Skip should challenge him on that. I think candidates right now are assuming that just because you run a blog that happens to be favorable to your positions, that you aren't going to be challenging them on what they say or do, which is very dangerous thinking for any candidate. Blogs are still a fairly new medium when it comes to news and politics. There are some, like me, who just write about existing news and comment on it without much original reporting. Skip's is more apt to do the original reporting, and we are thankful for it. We are all at different levels. But realize that, at least with bloggers, we admit our biases freely. I'm waiting for the mainstream media to do the same. In California Wednesday, Proposition 8 was struck down by a federal judge saying that it was unconstitutional. At this point, I think it's going to go to the Supreme Court. Recent polls in California showed that an overwhelming majority of people in California do not want gay marriage. The left is happy about this, but I think they're missing the point. Marriage, by its strictest definition, is a religious ceremony. In order for you to be quote-unquote married, it has to be done in a church. A civil union is done in front of a justice of the peace or some other person who has authority to join couples in matrimony. Now, going by that strict definition, my husband and I are not technically married. We were joined in a civil union by a justice of the peace in my mother's house in front of her big screen television. But we still call it a marriage. What these gay rights advocates want to do is tell people how religions that see the act of homosexuality as a sin should run the church. What they really want to do is tear down the churches for quote-unquote rejecting them by forcing them into performing gay marriage ceremonies. They are trying to get the government into the business of marriage where that's not their place. The people who are for this forget that here in the United States, we have separation of church and state. Government entities should be leaving the churches alone and let the gay rights advocates have their civil unions. Because the more you force an institution to try and accept your way of thinking, the more you make them resentful of your way of thinking. Now, often when we talk about the food police, it's usually in reference to people who want to take away our fast food or snacks or sodas or what have you. There usually isn't any actual police involved. The past week, there has been two stories coming out about raids by actual food police, also known as the FDA, on people who want to either distribute or use raw milk. Now, for those who might not know this, raw milk is illegal to sell in most states. California is one of the few places where you can get raw milk legally, as long as it's from a licensed dairy. 20 states allow consumers to either buy directly from the farm or participate in a cow share program, where people pay for part ownership in a cow and in return get some of its milk. The reason why raw milk is illegal is because of the risks of diseases from the milk, such as salmonella and E. coli. But there are those who are raw food enthusiasts who want their food in their purest form. Which is fine by me, because I don't think that the government should restrict what we should be eating. There are people out there who are hounding us who like delicious food about how a cheeseburger is going to kill us, so I don't see how this is any different. In California recently, a food club in Venice, California called Rawsome Foods was raided on suspicion of selling certain illegal raw foods, in particular raw milk from cows and goats. While the raid was going down at Rawsome Foods, according to the Los Angeles Times, the supplier of their milk, an unlicensed dairy farmer, was also being raided. Now, part of the problem is that the government agencies in charge of the raid state that Rawsome Foods didn't have the proper permits to even sell food. According to the owner, James Stewart, and Jonas von der Planitz, you have to pardon me pronunciation, I hope that's right, wonder what they were doing was not selling food, but running a club where people were picking up food they already owned for $25 a month. How this club worked was that people would pay the lease a section of the farmer's land and pay an additional service fee on items to pay for transportation to the site. If there's someone out there listening to this that can explain to me how that is not selling food, let me know in the comments on this podcast. But the bottom line is that they didn't think they needed the permits, which is where the bugaboo is. So right now, this is a big deal with the raw food foodies. Are they selling or offering something people already own, according to the owners? It still comes down to the idea that they are offering something that people want in the area and are willing to pay for. Does safety concerns outweigh the free market in this case? There is a demand. I think there should be a way to offer this food, such as going with one of the licensed dairies in California that sells raw milk to the public. People know the risks for selling raw milk of any kind, so it should be offered. Now we go from a case where someone is selling the raw milk to someone who is using it for his own personal use and the assumptions of government agencies. Right now, in Kinzers, Pennsylvania, there is an Amish farmer who is being ordered to have equipment on his farm to pasteurize his milk on his non-commercial farm. Now note that I said that this is a non-commercial farm. Everything he produces is for the use of his family only. He's not selling his product. No one in the state receives his product. In February earlier this year, Dan Allgaier was visited by FDA agents in regards to his farm. Driving past all the no trespassing signs, the agents went to his farm while Allgaier was out ready to milk his cows. Despite his attempts to tell them that he doesn't sell anything to the public, the agents insisted that he and his family can't be drinking all that milk, thus he has to be selling some of it. Allgaier told him to contact his lawyer. They refused. Allgaier refused to answer questions. And he has every right not to answer their questions, especially when the agents threatened him at one point, saying that he is refusing an inspection. They eventually left his property, but parked near a neighbor, and followed a visitor that wasn't part of the conversation, who had left the property in his truck. The agents followed him for quite a while before the guy called 911 and the agents were pulled over. They told him they were with the FDA and had a right to search the truck for product that suspected he had in his back. The truck was empty. The agents who followed him argued that he knew full well who they were. The visitor said that he didn't have a clue because he wasn't listening in on the conversation when they were on the farm. Fast forward to April. Allgaier is about to milk his cows for the day when a team of federal agents come onto his property serving a warrant at 5 a.m. When Allgaier pointed out that the warrant said that they could only come during a reasonable business hours, one of the agents said to him that the agriculture business starts at 5 a.m. He had to stop the agents from knocking on his door and disturbing his family. They were still there when they woke up, disrupting him and his family's routine while they did their inspection of his farm. At one point, according to Allgaier, they frightened his children enough that one of them asked, "Is Daddy going to jail?" And what did Allgaier get for his troubles? A letter the next day saying he had to make corrections. Now, this is one of those cases where I can get behind Algar. His case, unfortunately, falls under a little-known case called Wilkard versus Filburn. During the Depression, a farmer was charged with producing too much wheat on his farm, even though that extra wheat didn't make it to public but was fed to his cows. The government won on the argument that if he hadn't produced the extra wheat, he would have bought it, which might have been intrastate commerce within Ohio, but possibly it might have gotten into interstate commerce. Did you follow that? Because of that ruling, the economic effects argument of the regulation of interstate commerce has been regulated since. This is one of those many, many reasons why I'm a conservative slash libertarian. You give the government just a little bit of power over our lives, and they use it as a door to run every single aspect of it. The health care bill that was passed is one major example. By putting restrictions on restaurants as far as listing calorie counts on menus that would cost them tons of money, they are trying to regulate the private sector and our lives in the name of health. These two stories are another example of this. It's because of government intervention like that that we can't have nice things, like a strong economy. Let the free market work its magic. We'll eventually see some results. That's all I ask. Out of Hollywood this week, a surprise from jailbird Lizzie Lohan. Apparently, right before she went to jail, of which she is out now and in rehab, she went to film a movie. I should say she went to film a skit for a movie that is going to be released this fall. The film was directed by Shlomi Offer, known in most circles as either Vince Shlomi, Vince Offer, or the ShamWow guy. I guess he couldn't make up his mind on a stage name for himself. Anyway, in the skit that she filmed, Lohan takes aim at the paparazzi by dressing up as Marilyn Monroe and shooting them. And the timeline had to be right before she went to jail because in some of the publicity shots, she's still wearing her alcohol monitoring bracelet. And according to the story that I read on Gawker, she didn't seem bothered by this, even ad-libbing a reference to it at one point during filming. Now, before you get excited about seeing this film, and I'm sure most of you are, I saw the trailer. The name of the film is Underground Comedy 2010. Around 1999, director Vince Offer had financed and filmed a movie called the Underground Comedy Movie. If you were up late at night around the early 2000s, you might have seen ads for the DVD that advertised it as the most offensive movie ever. I never saw it, but from what I understand, the most appropriate tagline would have been the stupidest movie ever, because it wasn't funny. I'm mentioning the previous movie because if you compare the trailers for this movie and the 2010 movie, it looks like it's the same movie except with a couple more skits added. I don't know if I would waste my time with an older movie that's being repackaged as a newer film with the additional material. At this point, I just feel like I'm doing a public service so people don't waste their money. So if you really want to see a film that can get offensive but is still funny, I recommend renting the Kentucky Fried Movie. Now, this is something I want to get people's opinion on. I'm thinking about doing a whole other podcast show on Tuesday nights dedicated to the show True Blood. If you don't know what the show is about, it's based on the Southern vampire mysteries written by Charlene Harris. The lead character is a waitress named Sookie Stackhouse, who can read people's minds. The premise is that the Japanese have perfected a synthetic blood, so with the new discovery, vampires have come out to the world. So now you have the vampires that are good at trying to mainstream with society, and you have the vampires who are bad and prefer being in the shadows. If you have HBO, it's a great show and you should check it out. But with the number of issues in the show, I thought I would put something out there for the Trubies to mull over. Let me know in the comments if you would be interested in a podcast like that. Well, that's the show for this week. If you have an idea for a story that we could feature here, write a comment, and if it's worthy, we'll try to put it in next week. In the meantime, goodbye and God bless. All those shadows there, filled up with doubt.